Good morning. Today is Wednesday, December the 12th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County's, can we say new?
Yeah, new, within the year. Seven months.
Rookie librarian. That's who? Nick Wills.
Wilczek.
All right. Got her there.
That's very close. Thank you.
Wilczek.
Yes, sir.
Wilczek. Okay, you were there now. You ready for your, why do we say that?
I am. I feel like as a librarian, I should know whatever you throw at me.
Okay. Why do we call a vulgar person a cad? There's no Latin derivative on this one, sorry.
Yeah, no, Brian, I don't know.
Because a page boy was once called a cadet. For this reason, the public school boys of England called a person who waited on them a cadet, which was then shortened to cad.
Interesting.
Since those cads were less educated than the schoolboys, they were presumed to be vulgar persons devoid of the finer instincts. So in time, any person who possessed those attributes was called a cad.
A cad. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with computer-aided anything.
Right.
Oh. So why Humboldt, Nick?
Why Humboldt? Well, I had experience here from a few years ago. I was fortunate enough to be the branch manager of the Arcata Library for a few years. I moved out here on something of a whim from Kentucky.
You dropped the accent, by the way.
Well,
oh, okay, there
good.
We go. It's
yeah,
back.
Every now and again, you know. I'm trying really hard right now to be on radio and sound a little. You know.
Having an accent is always kind of cool.
I moved out here from Kentucky on something of a whim. The guy who lived above me went to school at HSU and had actually worked at the Eureka Library years prior. Told me he thought I might like it, and I hopped online, and there happened to be the Arcata branch manager job open. So I was lucky enough to get that job.
So are you still a Wildcat fan?
I am definitely still a Wildcat fan.
All right.
Lost to Seton Hall the other day.
I was going to give you
that. Hurts a little bit.
A little sympathy there. But
I maintain John Calipari is the only clean man in college basketball.
At least D1, right?
Yeah,
you don't want
right.
to throw Humboldt under the bus at this point.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Of course, that's right. That's right. Still a Wildcats fan. Lived in Arcata for 4 years, running that library. Took an opportunity up in Oregon, and after about a year and a half, the director position for Humboldt County opened up. It is the job I have wanted for many years, and Humboldt County is my favorite place. Not even my favorite place that I've lived, just in general my favorite place. And so to be fortunate enough to have a career in my chosen profession in my favorite place, kind of a no-brainer to take that job. I love the folks here.
So you've taken the wheels off your car?
Yeah,
okay.
I walk everywhere now.
Can't go anywhere anymore.
Nope.
Everybody, I think, when they assume a new position, looks around and, you know, you talk to the folks that are around, you talk to the community. Say, how do we get better?
Sure.
So how long was your list?
Well, I would say reasonable for the position, right? And so a lot of it is still growing. And I don't mean that that's more just a result of me still exploring and learning where we are, kind of getting reacquainted with the county and with the system. So again, it had been a year or so, year and a half since I've moved here, which isn't too long a time, but things definitely change. A lot of what I've been doing is kind of getting in tune with where the county is as a whole and things that are important to the county, and really trying to develop the library into a place that serves those larger county goals. And so that's a long-term thing, but it is something that is on the list that I think is going to be sort of a guiding principle moving forward.
Branch libraries.
Yes, sir.
Critical?
Critical.
Necessary?
Yes. Branch libraries, definitely critical and necessary. We get pretty rural pretty quickly. So if you head out to, say, Garberville or Willow Creek, the library could very well be the only place that you're going to go and get free Wi-Fi. It's the only place you're going to go Say you're a school kid working on a project. You know, it's the place you can go to get your research done. Just for pleasure reading, free books. You get out into the smaller places, fewer bookstores, less options that way. Almost the smaller the community, the more vital that library becomes.
Almost an inverse ratio.
To some extent. And that's certainly not to say that libraries in our more populated places are not vital, because that's not the case. But, yeah, I do think there is something to the argument that the smaller and more geographically remote a library in a town, the more important that the services are to those areas.
What about bookmobiles? I mean, that flashes back. I remember the – boy, am I going to sound old. Yeah, fine. I'll wear it with pride. Winston, you're not going to save me with a commercial break here, are you? No? Okay, fine. The old library was in the Carnegie Library.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then they updated it and moved it under the courthouse.
Sure.
Okay, then they got rid of that and moved it where it is now. But the bookmobiles were part of, that was each week.
Yeah.
Bookmobile would come and you would do the exchange, and it was something you kind of looked forward to.
Sure.
Kind of funky looking.
Yeah.
But still part of the whole equation. Is there a space for bookmobiles anymore?
Yeah. Equally as vital as the smaller locations, we still do have a bookmobile. I think it's one of the real jewels of the services we provide here. So that bookmobile goes out like 12 or 13 unique communities. And so, you know, heads out to Oreck, Petrolia, Wyatt, Bridgeville.
It's getting miles on the tires.
It's getting miles on the tires. And Adrian, who is our librarian out on the bookmobile, does an amazing job.
It's 8:19.
It's sounding like Christmas all over Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. It's all your favorite Christmas music all the time. Christmas music is yours 24 hours a day on 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. Bing, The Carpenters, America, and more contemporary singers like Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers, Michael Bublé, and others. It's our kind of Christmas music on Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM, the Christmas station. Tell your friends.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Nick Wilczek.
Yes.
Humboldt County Librarian for life.
Hopefully.
See, kind of blending a little library, a little bit with big-time wrestling. You notice that?
Right.
It was smooth, and you accepted. I like that.
Yeah. Yep, I appreciate you being subtle with it.
Bookmobiles are kind of cool. I was intrigued when you said libraries and not books, but Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
That was so. As libraries are evolving,
sure.
What do you see in 10 years? What? Yeah, let's just say there's a pile of pixie dust, so we don't have to worry about budget.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. What would it look like? What would your ideal library or library system in Humboldt County look like?
Sure. So books are always going to be a part of that. And when I say books, in that context, I mean paper books. So paper books will always
versus
be electronic books.
Books are tactile.
Okay.
No.
All right. Fair enough. So books then are always going to be a huge part and a primary part of what the library does. More than connecting people with books, I kind of conceptualize the library as connecting people with ideas. Which means that can be books, it can be movies. A large part of that is going to be connecting people with other people, fostering conversations that way, learning experiences, classes.
Kind of like the old neighborhood school.
Yes, kind of like the old neighborhood school. So a lot of it is going to be, I think, places where people can meet and work on projects together. where kids can study and work on group projects, where someone can go and take a computer class, for example.
Sounds like there's going to be a little bit more discussion in your library of the future than the one that is in the rearview mirror.
This is true, although there will always be a quiet reading place in the library as well.
One of the things that I find intriguing, sad, intriguing, is the demise of teaching cursive writing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of the library,
yes,
I kind of think of records,
mm-hmm.
like the assessor's office and things of that nature, going sure. back the historical Humboldt Room,
mm-hmm.
going back and seeing the old, and those were all in cursive.
Sure.
As you look into the future, is anybody going to be able to read those, or are you looking at needing to have this stuff keystroked in and be able to be observed and looked at and not needing to be interpreted and read?
That is a really interesting question. I even have a hard time reading and writing cursive. I print things, and I have for a long time.
Say I'm having seizures as I try to write.
Yeah, right.
It's that tough to read, yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know. I think, like, you know, there are people who can read all sorts of languages. And I think, you know, to some extent, it's just kind of it's a different language. If you've not seen that, it looks very different than print. It looks very different than type. But that's wildly interesting. We can still, say, read the Declaration of Independence, which is done in a much fancier script than even cursive when I was a very little kid.
Right. But if we had the actual document, I wonder what percentage of the population could read it.
Interesting. Yeah, I wonder as well.
I have a concern as we are going through these various permutations and PC and not that, and the
sure.
revisionism and all that. To be able to go back to the original document and go, okay, mm-hmm. what were the Federalist Papers?
Sure.
What did they actually say? Well, if you can't read it, mm-hmm. you're trusting somebody else,
sure,
to interpret,
yeah, interesting.
Or to transcribe it properly and accurately.
Mm-hmm.
It's like old Greek to, you know, English for the Bible.
Sure.
There are things in there that just don't quite make it. And
sure.
The same with Latin and et cetera, et cetera. So
mm-hmm.
I guess maybe that's, for me, this polarization that's going on. This, I kind of have a built-in innate distrust
mm-hmm.
now
sure.
for some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, you know, as you see things down the road, are there software programs that you can scan over these things and they tell you what they are?
I don't know if there is software that will translate cursive to spoken language. I feel like, or to translate to typed text as well. Couldn't tell you that, but
yeah. I mean, some of the old historical documents we have mm-hmm. of Humboldt County, written in the teens, the late 1800s, and stuff like that. I just see it as a passing of something.
Sure. From the library standpoint, we will do our best to house and archive those things, which is maybe our first responsibility with them. Hopefully,
the archiving.
Yeah, more so than maybe making sure folks can still read cursive.
Well, sure, you got to have something there for them to be able to read if
That's
they
it.
Do know how.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's just two, 3 years ago, isn't that when they stopped teaching? And it's like,
I'm not sure.
You know, oh man, that just, okay.
We'll translate it into emojis.
Yeah. Sure, go straight for the Achilles heel, huh? Are there other trends that you're seeing culturally that the libraries are going to have to adjust to or accommodate?
Well, we have always have changing demographics in the county. It is our responsibility to do our best to serve everyone that's here. So, yes, and libraries are, I think, if we're being responsive to the community needs, given that our community is always changing, what the library is doing is always in flux. So I like to think about it as it's always in a state of becoming to some extent. So the things that we do are going to continue to evolve to best serve the community.
It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Nick Welzik, the Humboldt County Librarian, or the Librarian for Humboldt County.
I've seen it a few ways. Humboldt County Librarian is kind of my favorite of
them. That's the official?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Director of Library Services, I've heard as well, but the County Librarian has a more, I like the ring of that one a little bit more.
Clear.
It's clear, and it just kind of outlines perfectly that I am everyone's servant, public servant here.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Redec, and Murphy's Markets. Nick, looking at the library itself, if we go back to our budget's not an issue, I would think that our hours of operation, the expansion of public interaction to the facility, the main library, would be high up there. Is that fair, or is that right?
No, it is absolutely fair. In my experience, when the public is asked what they would like to see from their library, uniformly the answer is almost always more hours. So, yeah, in a perfect world with a larger budget, definitely more hours, and that is throughout the county.
Now, I'm familiar with, in Curry County, there's the public library, but it's a special district. So it's set up differently. It's autonomous.
Sure.
It's not subject to the whims of fate. How's that?
Sure.
It's a little esoteric, isn't it?
Yeah.
Has there been any thought, or is that really complicated? Because I would think if you had a special district and it happened to kind of correlate to what the county is, now the rurals get it, the develops get it. I can't say urban.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
And everybody in between, it would seem like that would be a more solid way to approach it. Is that something that's been considered, or is that just something that's too far out there right now?
I would say it's probably too far out there right now. I think there are some merits to the argument, of course, but I don't see that happening anytime soon.
So how do you expand the hours without saying, well, it's a library or a cop? Well, you know, that one's going to turn out.
Oh, yes, I know
or
exactly how that
roads
one's going to
turn out. You know, some of those other things that are, I guess, more universally used.
Sure.
How do you get into that? How do you wade into that battle?
Sure. So I think there's a few things there. The first is that we are still figuring it out. So that's the first aspect of it. The second is I think the library can establish itself as even more of a vital community service to really kind of strengthen our argument when it comes to requesting more funding, asking for more funding.
The meeting place again.
Yeah, the meeting place, but also things that are important to the county here. The homelessness issue. I think the library could be doing more to help with that. The opioid crisis, helping the economy here. And so I think.
So you got some things in your head you haven't kicked out yet.
Sure. And so the more we move towards that, and that we can really establish ourselves as an organization that's really forward thinking and playing a really proactive role in helping the communities, and forwarding the community's goals in general, I think that helps a lot in terms of establishing more of a claim, or not a claim, but just bolstering the argument for funding that could go towards increased hours.
Do you have a model that's out there? Or is this kind of a compilation of a little from here and a little bit from there?
It is all, you know, you poach ideas from everywhere. They seem good, right? So, yeah, there are a lot of libraries doing all sorts of different things. You know, a possibility could be having a social worker on site at times to help some of our patrons, things like that. So partnering with other organizations, yeah, there are models, I think, in so many places that we could look at that could be pretty informative in helping our library move forward.
So is it a financial hesitation, or is it a cultural? Hey, we've always done it this way, Nick. Don't get the cart before the horse. And then, I mean,
sure.
I'm sure you're familiar with a lot of those.
Oh, sure, of course. You know, I couldn't say it is not 100% one or the other. And so I think that there are always financial constraints to whatever you're trying to do. And then in terms of culture, I think we are heading towards kind of the vision of being much more modern in our services, which would mean, again, the meeting spaces, the social, trying to interact much more to work on some of the social issues here, working with some of the schools to really help young people and families.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We will be back.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County's librarian. All right. Nick Welzak. What are the surprises that people would have when they meet you? What is the non-stereotypical Nick? I mean, you know, librarians, one, you're starting out with the wrong sex, right, for the stereotype.
For the stereotype,
okay.
This is true.
Et cetera, et cetera. So if you were to introduce yourself, not the 30-second thing.
Sure.
But what would surprise people?
Well, I think the surprises would come based on, again, being maybe not fitting into the traditional librarian stereotype. So what does that mean?
I did notice you're wearing a sweater, however.
Well, yeah, I like to wear the costume.
Okay.
And so
that's
a
the
tie
uniform.
And a sweater okay. is part of the setup, I think. So I am not so quiet a lot of the time. My personality is pretty big. I don't mind noise in the library. When I was in Arcata, we hosted concerts in there, all sorts of stuff. So these are things that might surprise people a little bit. I don't mind trying to do things a little differently than the library or libraries in general have maybe done them. It's that kind of stuff. I think, like teachers, people are surprised when librarians are like things other than a librarian. You know, like I exist outside of the library and am a normal person.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, how's staff reacted?
To
your personality, to laughing, to allowing noise, or talk, or discussions, or when you're
sure.
considering having music or of any sorts, or you know, more than poetry presentations and things
sure.
of that nature that have fallen into that square box called library. Are they excited about that, or are you kind of running against the grain a little?
No, I mean, there's always some of both whenever you come into a new spot. By and large, I feel like staff has been really fantastic. I'm not the only goofy, louder person on staff, you know? So there are a whole lot of people with a whole lot of personality around throughout the county that are all really wonderful. We try to laugh a whole lot at work. We have a whole lot of fun at work. Got a bunch of people being real creative, trying new things. So I think we're having a whole lot of fun, which is a big part of it.
What's the biggest surprise? If somebody hasn't been in the edifice, just because it has the copper gutters, the edifice in the last 10 years.
Sure.
What would be their biggest, other than the card catalog, wow?
Sure.
What's the wow moment for them?
Okay, a couple. I would say some of the programs, I think, would definitely surprise you if you were to walk in and see some of the offerings we have there. So some of the programs, but then some of the electronic resources, I think, are pretty surprising as well. So through the library website, you can download free ebooks and free audiobooks right to your device from our website. All sorts of research databases. We're getting ready to launch movie streaming service through the library website. So I think there are a lot of things that are not kind of in quotes traditional library things that folks would be surprised about. 10 years is a long time. And so, you know, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, that's just because you're young. Another 10 years on you, you go, what happened?
I know. I went into a high school the other day for the first time in quite a while and was shocked.
It's amazing how many really young people hang out there, isn't it?
Those kids are kids.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some of that syndrome that's out there. I guess that just means that we've earned the right?
Sure. Yep.
Yeah, folks want to get involved. Is there an opportunity? Do you still have volunteers or needs?
Sure, yeah. There are volunteer opportunities kind of throughout the county. So that could be volunteering at the library. That could be serving on a Friends of the Library. Most of our individual branches have their own friends. So if you live in Trinidad, you could be a friend of the Trinidad Library. There's a foundation.
Or if you just want to see a big personality show on up.
Try.
Yeah, look for Nick. He's yep. He's a small, reclusive guy. Merry Christmas.
Hey, likewise. Thank you so much.
See everybody tomorrow.